Here's a friendly suggestion. Those beautiful views deserve some new frames. Custom designs and superior service make getting new windows a work of art. A free, no-pressure renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brendan behind the glass 4 days in a row for Brendan Riley. He's getting a medal. He's getting an award. It's outstanding. He's distracted, too. He's starting our program distracted, really, really engaged with the Killer Bees on this Thursday afternoon.
I have other responsibilities sometimes, too, you know.
Whose seat is hotter, Brendan Riley or Nick Caserio? 713-780.
Coming up on the wheelhouse. We discuss.
Yeah, well, we are going to discuss.
They can have random audio on Brendan's possible hot seat?
Probably.
Maybe.
Probably. They were discussing Nick Caserio, the hot seat yesterday. Many people have been doing this. Here's my overall thought when it comes to Nick Caserio and, like, his job security, the warmth of his seat. Because they were talking about Jason Lockenfora's post in the Washington Post. Jason Lockenfora, first and foremost, is not a journalist that really gets taken seriously a whole lot. In fact, there's websites that mock how bad Jason Lockenfora is. The General, John McClain, who, of course, used to be on a lot and still is on a lot on the highway to hell, who I like, people actually have, like, thoughts and opinions about John McClain's stuff as well. McClain's always been good at reporting. His opinions and his takes sometimes could land on Bad Take Boulevard today at 2. So, like, McClain even talked bad about Jason Lockenfora, and John doesn't talk bad about, like, any reporters, any journalists. So I don't really take a whole lot that Jason Nonconforma has to say. First and foremost, want to say that it was Lockenfora who's talking about Nick Caserio's seat being hot and the, you know, Texans might be looking to clean house. Secondly, when it comes to Nick Caserio, Blankers, mm-hmm. we were, like, first to the market whenever we were pointing out red flags with Nick Caserio. I remember whenever we were pointing out bad trade after bad trade after bad trade, yep. albeit small, fifth rounder for Anthony Miller, sixth rounder for Ryan Finley, albeit small, how this is kind of raising some red flags. This is getting my attention that Nick Caserio, albeit small, is making bad trade after bad trade after bad trade.
And at the time, we also were very quick to say, hey, look, we get it. It's not big assets right now, but you don't want it to be something when you do have all your draft picks and you do have big assets like the Watson trade coming down the pike that you do the same kind of thing.
Exactly. And we were taking heat for this too. Like, why are you crying over fifth and sixth round draft picks? Well, because we're noticing a trend. That's why we're just pointing it out. Just put it somewhere in the back of your mind that Caserio is losing these minor trades. And now people are talking about, well, if you can't trust him in the minor trade, how can you trust him with the big trade? So we've been on Caserio for a long time. We talk about how Caserio sounds smart, but we believe in actions over words, and the actions haven't backed up how he sounds. Mm-hmm. And now you have people on the highway to hell, like, comparing his words to Jack Easterby's words, which is bizarre and weird behavior, but that stuff is going on right now. So we've been pointing out Nick Caserio for a long time. I haven't loved how he's handled drafts. I know there's only been two. Some people would say there's only been one real one. Whenever you're a team that has the worst roster in the NFL and you have holes everywhere, why is Nick Caserio trading up a few times? I don't like that. I got ridiculed and crushed for saying that. Well, he's got to go target players that he wants. I got hammered for having that thought. So we've been on to Nick Caserio's BS for quite some time. The Deshaun Watson trade. Now, we're kind of different on how we feel about Deshaun Watson, the Deshaun Watson trade. You think it's the best move that Caserio's made, more because of the timing, not necessarily the return, all of that, which I agree with. The timing of it worked out perfectly. I don't think it was a hard thing to do because Nick Caserio had four teams that were willing to trade him three first-round draft picks. Deshaun Watson was picking which team he wanted to play for.
But to be clear, like, a lot of general managers would have said, you know, obviously worried about their rear end more than anything else, too, going, hey, my hands are tied on this one. No matter what happens, I don't control it, so I'm just going to have to wait to see what Deshaun does. To be cagey and ahead of it enough to be Nick Caserio to say, of the teams that he tells me are possible, I'm going to work out deals in advance so I already know what I could get from each of these teams or what I'm going to get from each of these teams and get possibly more than what the general public expected because Deshaun had all the cards. I thought that was really, really well done.
You could make the argument that that's cunning. Like, I'm not going to even really dispute that. I think the timing of that was probably the win of that trade. Handling Deshaun Watson's, like, you know, management, agent, things like that, I think is the win of that trade. I don't think what Nick Caserio got in return for that trade was really all that difficult. There was four different teams saying, we're willing to give you three first-rounders for Deshaun Watson. So, like, I agree the timing and the management of the situation was the hard part of that. But if anybody got the timing and management, anybody gets three first-rounders for Deshaun Watson. So, like, we're a little bit of a disagreement there, but, like, that's the best thing Caserio's done.
There were a lot of people that were pulling back on those offers because of the fact that there was so much going on off the field?
No. I mean, it's well documented that you had four teams willing to trade for Deshaun. Atlanta, New Orleans, Cleveland, and who was the fourth? I think Carolina, maybe?
It was.
Yeah, so you had those four teams that were really willing to trade you first.
Were the Saints in
there? Yeah. So they were one of the final four teams. And a lot of people thought he was going to Atlanta, and then all of a sudden, at the last moment, Cleveland's like, well, we'll give you more money. We'll guarantee it all. And he's like, yeah, I'll take the money. I'll follow the money. I'll go be a Cleveland Brown. So you had four different teams. It's like the demand was there for multiple teams. It's not like Caserio held anybody over the barrel to maximize the yield on Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson had to want to play for that team, and to get into the chat room, to get into the conversation, they needed three first-round picks. Now, I agree with you, the timing of it, handling Deshaun Watson's people, you can give Caserio a win there. Long story short, I say all of this to say we've never really been that high on the actions of Nick Caserio. I don't think Nick Caserio has done a whole lot. I think the notion, though, about how would you feel if the Texans were to move on from Nick Caserio, I would be terrified and frightened that the Texans have zero plan, zero idea where they are going. I don't think Nick Caserio should be fired. Nick Caserio was brought here to handle a six-year rebuild. He's a year and a half into that rebuild and has had one full draft. Where has Nick Caserio failed? What goal has Nick Caserio not accomplished? Nick Caserio was brought here to get this franchise back to relevance and the playoffs at some point in his six-year period, not to have a winning team in year two. I think that the idea of firing Nick Caserio is asinine. It comes from fanboys that immediately want like this rebuild, and it comes from people, quite honestly, I really do feel this, to fill shows, to fill content on the radio program, to talk about Nick Caserio and Easterby. Oh, they sound the same, so we're going to talk about that for half an hour. Terrible radio. But like the idea to fire Nick Caserio 1.5 years into a six-year contract when the goals that were listed were to turn this franchise around in the 6 years, they have yet to be failed. The time has not expired.
See,
on the goals.
Here's where we also don't know that you can also have to interject as part of the conversation is the same reason why James Click won a World Series as a general manager of the Houston Astros, but if you have a communication breakdown and a personality conflict with the owner, and the owner can make decisions whenever he wants to, and especially with a guy like Crane that doesn't nitpick dollars and cents, he's going to make the decision that he makes based on the fact that he wants people that he can work with on a daily basis. I don't think Cal is that kind of guy. I think that when we talk about these things, I think in a lot of regards, I'm complete agreement with you. I don't think Nick Caserio is going to go because, as you know and you stated, and I backed up, I am a big fan of how he handled the Watson trade. And I'm always a big fan. I mean, I'm always going to pass judgment based on what they've done. And as much as we nitpick those small little trades, I said, just like when you're dealing with the exit of a Carlos Correa or big moves by your first big moves in the position, I think the first big move that we saw Caserio make, or one of them, was this Watson trade. I said, that's the first one that he's going to be graded for. Now, obviously, the head coaching, hiring and firing, and how much his involvement in both of them and all that stuff could be scrutinized too. But the positives are, he's early in his, like you mentioned, he's early in his tenure. He's got a six-year deal. No owner, I don't care how much money you make, wants to eat a contract 2 years in. Mm-hmm. On top of that, he did the Watson deal the right way. His first draft, I also chuckle too at people, the same people that said, that were on board with us, that said, what a draft he had in his first entire draft class to get the guys that he got. And at that point in time, we hadn't seen Harris. We knew Mechie was going to be out for the year.
Yeah.
But your fourth round pick is a starting running back. You've got a guy in Stingley that still looks like he's going to be a player. Obviously, Kenyon Green has had ups and downs. But when you go up and down the list of Jalen and Petrie, you're going, hey, guess what? A lot of guys would love to have just one or two of those guys. He hit all of them. Yeah. So there are positives, but that just leads me to believe if I'm signing this guy to a six-year deal, if I don't even at least give him 3 years to do something or not do something, what am I doing?
You see, I think that this draft has been fine, and I still feel that this draft has been fine. People are already crowning Sauce Gardner the better corner over Derek Stingley, and I understand he's had a better rookie year, but I'm not grading a rookie based on 11 games. I'm grading rookies and where you drafted them based on the four-year contracts that rookies get in the NFL. The Nick Caserio coaching thing is something that I do want to get to, like hiring David Culley, hiring Lovie Smith, because that falls in line with Caserio as the general manager. But the notion, this idea that Nick Caserio could be fired by the Houston Texans, how would you feel if the Texans move on from the GM 2 years into a six-year contract, 2 years into what is a massive overhaul and rebuild for this organization? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at MyBookie. Look, MyBookie does things that take care of the customer on a daily basis, and they're always going to take care of you. That means they're going to make sure you get paid when you win. That means they're going to run promos from time to time. And the thing you need to remember besides mybookie.ag is the promo code. And that promo code is always bet975. When you use that promo code, you get extra good things. You get taken care of. That's the way that they do business. And it starts again right now with the latest promotion they have going on. A no strings bonus that lets you cash in and cash out quickly. It's simple. You can bet as little as $50 up to $2,000. You're going to get a 10% cash bonus. Bet your deposit amount once and you're ready to cash it out. You won't find an easy bonus like this anywhere else. It's no strings attached. It's all with mybookie.ag. Hammer the bonus on mybookie.ag so you can focus on what's important, and that's winning time. That's if you know something or feel like you know the sport well enough or have some information you think you can use. It's making the most uninteresting game more interesting and making a profit in the process. That's the way you do the business on mybookie.ag. Amp up the fun this week. We know we got football starting tonight, and we've got the NBA, college basketball, college football with the bowl games coming up, player props, and, of course, World Cup. Take advantage of the cash-in, cash-out bonus. Use the promo code BET975. And as I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, and the promo code is BET975.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
How would you feel if the Texans move on from Nick Caserio? 2 years into a six-year contract, 2 years in what is a massive rebuild. A lot of people were weighing in on some bullet points to fire to keep Nick, and we'll get to them. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Get Vera in here. Vera, great to hear from you. What's going on? You're in the Hive.
Keep Nick Caserio for now.
Hold on, Vera. Before you start, Vera, I understand that you got hung up on the other day. Is that true? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, it's okay. But you know, something happens. A couple of times, call gets dropped or whatever. No issues though. But I did want.
Was it Brendan? Because if it was Brendan, we would like it to be an issue.
I think it was the 3-7, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, Vera. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so that's an issue.
I was hoping you'd bash him, but you're not willing to go there, I guess.
No, it's okay. It's all good, though. I was going to say, I think for those who are of the opinion that Jack Easterby brought Andy to Clear House, the Texans were in love with Nick Caserio far before Jack Easterby. The only reason Jack Easterby even came into the organization was because they figured they could get Nick faster through Jack, but they were always in love with Nick. They tried to go after him in 17 or 18 when Rick Smith was kind of being sidelined in the process and he was busy with, you know, attending to his wife, then sick wife. They tried him in 19, which was a whole tamper gate that, you know, the New England Patriots threatened. And then, of course, they finally got him in 21. You know, as like you've already said, and like, you know, even DK said on the Wheelhouse, this guy needs, actually, you need to give any GM a couple of full drafts. Last year was a really bad draft. I know Jake Asman is a big Jets fan, so he's like, well, you know, this and that, he can get a good quarterback. I'm like, it wasn't even a good quarterback class last year, or this year. 22 wasn't even a good quarterback class, but 23 and 24 are projecting to be good quarterback classes. So we need to give him his chance. Look, if it doesn't happen, his seat is definitely going to get warmer by this time next year if they're keeping the same record. I'll hang up and listen, but thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm with you, Vera, on the timeline for Caserio. I don't believe at all that he should be fired this year. I think that that's quite silly, to be honest with you. Nick Caserio was not brought into this franchise to have the Texans winning seven games in year two. And I understand some people like the incremental climb, or if you won four wins last year, then the job is to win six games. No, it's not. The job is to have a more talented football team year by year by year. And a lot of times the wins isn't the best metric to measure that talent. Does anybody right now, 713-780-3776, does anybody right now think that this football team, this 53-man roster, is less talented than the 2021 Houston Texan football team?
I don't know how you can think that when you have a legit running back. You didn't have that a year ago. You tried to hoodwink everybody to believe David Johnson had something left in the tank, and all the other veteran has-beens and washed-up retreads that you were trying to bring back, including one that continues to survive in Rex Burkhead. I mean, you look at it across the board just with the draft class alone, and it's a better roster because you've got young talent that's not only going to help you whatever they can do this year, but they're going to continue to get better to help you more and more in the future. So, and the veterans you brought in this go-round, well, Jerry Hughes and the like, and Stevie Nelson, those are the types of veterans that you want to see a team bringing in that suddenly makes your team better. Now, Jerry Hughes hasn't had that sustained throughout the season, but he's an older player. But you didn't expect even close to what he's already given you and what he gave you early in the year. Stevie Nelson gave you a legit corner that can play and start and be effective for you, as opposed to the retreaded former first-round picks you were trying to run through here in the past. There's upgrades across the board. The roster, there's no, regardless of wins and losses, this roster is better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's zero argument. And if you think otherwise, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. What's the job of the GM? The job of the GM is to build the best talented, the most talented roster, improve the talent. Yes, you want, like, obviously the goal is to win, but the general manager can only build the 53. The general manager can only build the talent. And I know people are saying that, well, he also hired the coach. No, he didn't. Look at Nick Caserio's finalist list. And I know that some people like to, like, mock Josh McCown, but Jonathan Gannon was on that list, defensive coordinator for the Eagles. People would love to have Jonathan Gannon right now. O'Connell was on that list, who ended up signing with the Vikings, and you probably weren't going to win O'Connell if he had the job offer for the Vikings. I understand that, but O'Connell would be great.
Well, that was
Gannon would be great.
But that was a year ago. He would have been okay. I mean, if...
No, it was this last cycle. It was this last cycle.
Oh, this was for the Lovey hire.
Yeah, so O'Connell's probably not going to pick the Texans over the Vikings. I understand that, but he was on the list.
To plug and play win guys now.
Lovie Smith was not ever a finalist for this job. Nick Caserio did not hire Lovie Smith.
And I tend to think the same thing. I was going to say this last segment to you guys. I do think it is fair to say we don't know that for sure. And that is like a big, like, piece of missing information in judging Caserio. I tend to also think that it wasn't a Nick Caserio hire. But if it was, and we had
how
that
could
information.
It be, though? How could it be? How could it be his hire? He didn't interview him at all.
I can tell you how it could be. When everything was hunky-dory and there wasn't this firestorm of this side story that was building momentum every single day, he had his finalists that you were just rattling off. When they went into emergency mode, when all this was going down, it could still be the general manager that said, hey, they met in a war room with the powers that be and said, what's our best case scenario for getting out of this unscathed and being able to move forward?
But that's still not Caserio's guy.
Already
that's not Caserio's guy, though.
Because it's not his guy.
Right.
But he was in on the decision.
But he didn't have free reign to hire his guy, who was never interviewed for the job of six different finalists. Like, I mean, I understand your point that he could have had some sort of say, but he was told that he could not hire one of the six guys that he wanted.
Like,
the three guys, honestly.
Like, when I was with the Rockets and we had a powers that be meeting, it would be the only one that would veto it would be, you know, if it was Daryl or if it was Ted, the only one that would veto it would be Les. And it would be, hey, we've got this crisis going on. What's the best way to get through it? If Daryl said or Tad said, hey, we're going to go and we got someone in-house. We're going to hire Lovie and we're going to go with Lovie for the short term because it keeps us from getting all the heat that everybody else is getting.
You know how else I know he didn't hire Lovie? because he drafted Derek Stingley Jr. at number three. He drafted a player at number three that Lovie Smith thinks is the fifth most important defensive position for a defense and is going to sit back and play cover two. You're not drafting a corner at number three if you're going to play zone 70% of the time. That just will not happen. So Nick Caserio, how he's building this team is with Lovie Smith out of mind. You're not drafting a corner at number three if you think Lovie Smith's going to be the head coach for 3, 5, 7 years.
Well, I mean, you're probably right, because I think he also believes that there will come a time sooner rather than later where he will get to pick his own coach, when we're not dealing with these outside distractions of these side stories that were gaining momentum by the day in the Brian Flores situation. So I think that there is some truth to that. But, I mean, for the most part, we'll never know, to Brendan's point, we're never going to know exactly how the inner workings of this deal happened or other deals that went down happened.
But you're right, but I think the clues are there. Like, he had his final three guys were not Lovie Smith. And he also drafted Derek Stingley, who was a corner, and Lovie Smith went on Barstool Sports and said he thinks corner is the fifth most important defensive position.
I'm with you. So that second part, I can get behind more. I don't think that him not being on the finalist part is fair. He wasn't publicly on the finalist. He wasn't interviewed. He has a relationship with Lovie Smith. Like, it is possible for a GM to go, I have this relationship with Lovie Smith, and without interviewing him, decide he's the guy.
You know who has a moral?
But don't you have to? But by league standards, don't you have to announce who your finalists are, or keep?
You have to announce who you're interviewing.
Yeah, you
right.
Definitely,
so we know he didn't interview him.
Yeah, and then
we know he didn't interview him. He got hired without being interviewed.
See, so my point would be, you can't just say, hey, because he's in the building already, we're going to slide him through the process, or he's going to keep moving on. I think at a certain point, you have to at least keep everybody informed of the fact that he's still in the process. He's interviewing.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Gary in here. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, Jeremy, man, gotta disagree with you. Number one, I mean, talent, to me, that's relative. We're just looking at names. I can tell you for sure that the product on the field looks worse than it did last year.
I'll agree with that.
Throw that out the window. Product on the field looks absolutely, it's an abomination. Like, I've been able to watch two games from start to finish, and frankly, I'd rather go to brunch with my wife or something. Like,
but can it be
last
both?
Year, we were terrible too. This year, it's horrible. So, we talent, whatever. The other thing is, I feel like you're giving Caserio some cover that he doesn't necessarily deserve. What we do know is that Lovie Smith was not one of his first choices, because all reports said that he wanted to choose Josh McCown, which is absurd, right?
That's our opinion. That's our opinion. Our opinion is that McCown was absurd. Do you think this team would be playing worse? Do you think the product would be worse with Josh McCown as opposed to Lovie Smith?
I mean, it will probably be really close.
Okay.
And I say that.
Oh,
Gary, call back and finish.
Yeah, call back and finish the point. I think he hung up.
Gary, call back.
Yeah, that was, I don't know what happened there.
To the first point, though, it can be both. It can be that the roster is better, but the performance is not.
Absolutely, it can be both. And that's why I was going to ask Gary. I mean, would you rather have, like, if you're building a roster, and we know that this is a rebuild, I don't think anybody had, like, thoughts of grandeur that this team was going to be in the playoffs, unless you're 3-7, you thought they could win 7 or 8 games, that this team wasn't going to be a playoff team. So, like, what's the difference between, like, if you're not a playoff team, what's the difference between 2 wins and 5 wins? And I understand the product is worse this year than last year. Whenever you look at the production on the field, I get that. But if you just go position by position and you're in a rebuild, where would you rather be? With Rex Burkhead or with Damian Pierce? Easy answer. Would you rather have Derek Stingley as opposed to whoever you were running out there last
Vernon
year? Cornerback.
Hargraves.
Yeah, I don't even remember. Jalen Petrie as your safety, or I don't even remember who they're throwing out there.
Justin
Jonathan
Reed.
Owens, a bunch of dudes. Yeah, that's right. He left in free agency. Like, I'd rather have those guys. I'd rather have the young guys. Is the production worse? Yes, and a lot of times it's hard to win with rookies. Like, rookies aren't always good right away. Let's get to Gary on the other side. We got to hit the break, but Gary's on hold. We'll get to the rest of those points, Gary, because I do want to talk to you about some of these things. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Tis the season. We know that. It's December, although the weather says otherwise. But that weather is good if you want to play some basketball outside. A minute on ProDunk Hoops. It's the best basketball goal on the market. If you're looking for Christmas ideas for your son, your daughter, your nephew, your niece, maybe just for you, how about a goal from ProDunk Hoops? Best basketball goal on the planet. Tempered glass backboard gives you that true, authentic feel. Competition-grade breakaway rim, perfect for dunking, perfect for keeping you safe. And, yeah, I mentioned dunking because you can lower the goal. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. Lower it down, throw down some jams, raise it up to regulation if you want to work on that jump shot for you or your kids working on their game as well. One of my favorite features, because I have weak ankles, an extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim. You don't have to worry about the basketball stanchion right underneath. You got to clear path there to keep you and your loved one safe, and Branham safe too. Durability is a strength of ProDunk Hoops. Stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, exclusive rust armor, which makes them sturdy and strong and unlike anything you can find in the big box stores. The best feature too, you can't find this in the big box stores as well, they install the goals. Yes, the pros at ProDunk Hoops professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all the work for you while you hang out and inside the house, on the recliner, watching some sports. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options to be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we got our guy Gary back on the phone, which is good, because I love when Gary calls, even if he disagrees with me, because he brings up great points that I like to talk about, great talking points, and you know we talk sports with you, not at you. Let's go out to the HRP listener line for Gary. Gary, you're back in the hive. What's up, Gary? We dropped you right at the moment you were talking about like one allowance I'm giving for Nick Caserio that you don't think I should be.
Yeah, you're saying that you don't think that he chose Lovie Smith.
Correct.
We do know that Lovie Smith was not his first choice. Let me backtrack and say, we know that he chose David Culley, which was a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. And not like a Monday morning quarterback disaster. Everybody knew David Culley was going to be a disaster before he, like, at the press conference. Like, it was a totally ridiculous pick. So that's on his record. Lovie Smith, the only reason that he had to pick Lovie Smith, or whoever picked Lovie Smith, is because you were hiring Josh McCown. Right?
No, I don't think that's what it was. I don't think that's what. I think it was more Brian Flores than Josh McCown, to be honest with you. I think Josh McCown would have went through if it weren't for the Brian Flores lawsuit.
Well, that was the point that I wanted to make. He was going to hire Josh McCown if not for Brian Flores. But what type of head coach hire are you making if a lawsuit comes along and you have to change course? Right? Like, who else would that have applied to? Like, to me, that means like you're doing something wrong or something like that. To where you have to change your course because of a lawsuit.
I don't know if wrong is fair. I would say unique in that with the caveat of the Flores lawsuit, it looks odd. And like we ended up getting it with Jeff Saturday. Now, Saturday's situation's not a great comparison because you're not, you know, subject to the Rooney rules whenever you fire a coach midseason. You can't hire a coach from another team midseason when you fire somebody. So I don't know if I could call it like exactly use the same words that you did. I think they changed course because they felt the public pressure.
No question.
And I would argue with you, Gary, that if you're an organization that is reacting based on public pressure, PR, fan support, things like that, then you have an organization or franchise that lacks a spine, and you're making decisions that are not in the best interest of a winning organization.
See,
I can agree with that. Let me just say this. After Culley, I feel like it would have made sense. Go down the middle of the road, man. Pick an experienced coach with some type of pedigree, but you go with a guy who hadn't even coached, like Pop Warner. So long story short, I'm obviously anti-Caserio. I feel like he needs to go because he was brought in by Easterby. Get rid of all of that. Let's start over. But anyway, love the show, guys. Love speaking with you. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I love the conversation too, Gary. And look, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, look, I know it's easy to say that if you react or make decisions based on the media and the public perception, but this is that you don't have a spine. But in a lot of ways, I've either been in them or know of them. there's a ton of teams that do. And they worry about every little thing as it relates to little things. And yep. in this case, a bigger thing. And it weighs in. It might not be the deciding factor, but it weighs into decisions that are made by these franchises. And it can affect the locker room, the coaching staff, management, all these different things. And if you don't want to believe that it's possible, then you're not being realistic in how sports are run these days.
I think everybody believes it's possible. I don't think that that's up for debate. I think everybody believes it's possible and it probably happens. And now how much it happens, probably more than people think.
I was going to say it's more probable than it's possible in most cases.
Don't disagree. But for every one of those teams, I would point my finger in their face and say that you're spineless and you're not looking out for the best interest of winning football games. Now, a lot of owners don't really care as much about winning football as bottom lines, selling tickets, selling merch,
not offending
maximizing
the fans
so that dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I understand that that exists. I don't want my teams to be those teams. I don't want my teams to be the ones that are worried about the bottom line. I want them to be worried about winning. I'd rather hire a Josh McCown than a Lovie Smith if you truly believe that that head coach is better. Now, look, we would be in a better situation to assess Nick Caserio if he did hire Josh McCown. Because if he hired Josh McCown, so let's just assume that Josh McCown was terrible because everybody thinks that he is terrible. Let's make the assumption that he would have been equal to Lovie Smith as the head coach of this organization, and the product on the field in 2022 is the same product on the field that we're seeing under Lovie Smith. We would all look at the organization and be like, man, Nick Caserio hired that guy. This is the product. We have a better understanding, more data, more intel on who Nick Caserio is. But because he didn't hire the coach, in my opinion, and I think there's multiple examples that I pointed out as to why I don't think he hired Lovie Smith, we have more unknown. We have the point where we don't know how to really assess Nick Caserio when he's hiring coaches, at least this time.
See, here's what I would say to that, too. The only, you know, I was against McCown. But at the same time,
which I mean, everybody was.
But at the same, well, and you were not necessarily pro.
He was third on my list.
Yeah,
he was on your
list, right?
Yes.
And I think that in looking in retrospect to try and say why he might, you just gave the reasons why if it failed. But if you get him instead of Lovie Smith, and he becomes, you and I both said, look, where this roster is and where it's got to go, you need a bridge coach.
And it really,
because you don't know when you're going to get the quarterback and you don't know when you're going to get better. But if, on the best case scenario, McCown starts picking it up and he starts getting things done and he starts making a positive effect on this roster, now your bridge coach has the potential to be there longer term with this team and this young group of players as they do develop. And as the next quarterback, if you get a quarterback, he might possibly help. So worst case scenario, he fails miserably. You put it on Casario's shoulders because you know he made the pick. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario is he starts picking up the head coach stuff. He starts looking like he knows what he's doing. And at the same time, your roster gets better and the talent and the play on the field gets better. Your coach gets better too. And maybe there's a potential for him to stay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everybody, that's kind of the problem that I have whenever people discuss Josh McCown. Look, I'll even concede that the chances of Josh McCown working were slim. The problem that I have is where it's like a guaranteed loss. You can't guarantee me that. You can't guarantee me that Josh McCown comes in and he's not a very good coach. Now, is that a minority opinion? Obviously. It's not nowhere near a guarantee. It's probably not even likely. But you can't just say with 100% certainty it would have failed. You have no idea.
We don't know.
Like, people are texting us on the text line that Tony Romo should be hired as the offense coordinator. Like, I will put my money that Josh McCown's a better coach in the NFL than Tony Romo or Peyton Manning.
Can I just tell you this, too? You can put your money where you want. Romo ain't putting his money away at $18 million a year to get a fraction of that to be an offensive coordinator.
And working 10 times more, 100 times more. Now, the point that Gary brought up that I'm glad he brought up because I did want to get to at some point was that, look, even if you dismiss Lovie Smith as the Nick Caserio hire, which I will, I'm willing to wash my hands and wash Nick Caserio's hands of the Lovie Smith hire, the one that you can't escape is David Culley. You can't escape that. And there's really not much, you know, rationale there, reasoning to bring in bring in David Culley, and there's a hard to excuse Nick Caserio. What I said when they hired David Culley, though, and I still say it now, and look, maybe you're thinking I'm making excuses for Nick Caserio, but I truly believe this to be the case, that Nick Caserio understood where the roster was. He understood that the Texans were 3-4 years away from winning, and he didn't want to hire, like, his guy. He didn't really care about who was the head coach of the Texans. He was hiring somebody who could be positive, could be rah-rah, could be happy on the sidelines, that was happy-go-lucky to
could
have the job.
Could also be a scapegoat at some point.
Could be a scapegoat at some point. That's fine. I'm willing to give you that one as well. But somebody that was more positive than had prowess as a head coach of the NFL. The example that I would use, and look, you might say, well, that's not an apples-to-apples comparison. Jeff Luhnow hired Bo Porter. We think Jeff Luhnow's the greatest general manager in Astro history. I've said he's the greatest general manager in Major League Baseball history. He hired Bo Porter, and Bo Porter was the David Culley of Major League Baseball. Why did he hire Bo Porter? Because he knew he was going to lose 100 games a year, and he didn't want to hire his guy yet.
Well, and that's the other thing I was going to say. The smart general managers in any league surround themselves with protection. And in a lot of ways, general managers surround themselves with protection by getting guys that basically fit their timetable for their plan. And they know that they'll get scrutinized. Like, say, the Sam Hinkie approach that we always say, trust the process in Philadelphia. He didn't get to see the process through because he didn't build in those insurance policies because he'd never been a general manager before. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a coach and a couple of guys that could be the fall guys and the hitmen if things weren't going well while you were trying to trust the process.
Yep.
Bo Porter was a low end of where the team is at, bridge guy that was expendable and didn't cost you very much. Just like David Culley, first time as a head coach, put him in, like you said, rah-rah, positive guy, great story, African-American head coach, first opportunity. But guess what? He did it because he knew what his roster was, and he knew that if things started going south, his easy answer that keeps his butt off the hot seat is, hey, first-time head coach, he was over his head a little bit, he would have been better off with a veteran team. We decided to part ways at a certain time, and it keeps people off of his ass.
Yeah, I think a scapegoat is a good way to describe it. Positive energy guy on the sidelines. Now, was he incompetent? Yes, but he was incompetent for a team that won four games. Like, it wasn't a playoff roster that you're putting in the hands
for a roster
of David Culley.
That didn't know what to do if you had a competent head coach.
Was it a bad hire? Like, I'm not going to say it's a good hire. But the importance of getting a good hire whenever you have a lousy football team doesn't matter as much.
We even laid it out, though. We said there's going to be a time when you take that next step with a proven or up-and-coming but a really good head coach. At the present time, we said, look, it's in layers. The first coach is supposed to get you through two, maybe three, while you start to fortify your roster again. And when the team's ready to start winning, that's when you can consider bringing in another head coach.
713-780-ESPN. How would you feel if the Texans were to move on from Nick Caserio after just 2 years into this massive rebuild? Also, some comments from Mike Florio about the situation as well. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Vivia. Look, Vivia dumpsters do the dirty work so you don't have to. It's pretty simple. I mean, in all the different things you got going on, maybe you're thinking about cleaning out the garage and the attic. Maybe you're doing some home renovations. But in the process, you've thought about exactly what you want to do. You just haven't thought about who's going to take away what you don't want anymore. That's where Vivia comes in, because Vivia can take care of the dirty work. They do the work so you don't have to. So, but whether you have contractors coming in or you're doing it all yourself, on a day-to-day basis, you're going to have a whole bunch of stuff that you want to get rid of, get off your property, get off your lawn, so that no one gives you a hard time, from the HOAs to your neighbors. Your curb appeal will never be in jeopardy if you go to Vivia, because they bring 10-yard and 15-yard rollaway dumpsters right to your driveway. They are comfortable to fit easily in your and small enough to fit right there. And then because you schedule it and you tell them what your schedule is, they will drop it off in the morning. They can pick it up and take it away at night. It can even bring it back the next day if you need it again. All you got to do is schedule with them. You will never let an ugly dumpster ruin your home's curb appeal or your ability to get in and out of your driveway and do the things you need to do. They take care of it so you don't have to. Project managers, it's the same thing. From waste removal to business expansion projects, see why more and more contractors all over H-Town are using Vivia. We use them for our golf tournament every year. They do a phenomenal job. Texas Custom Patio is the sponsor here at the station that you hear us talk about. Trust Vivia with all of their waste needs. Check them out by going to the website, govavia.com. That's govavia.com. Or call them, 832-699-1555. Tell them you heard about it on ESPN 97.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Houston Cougar, Alabama basketball on Saturday. Hottest ticket in town, Saturday afternoon. First top 10 matchup in Fertitta Center history. We're giving away a pair of tickets to go watch that game in the 2 o'clock hour. So make sure that you're listening to the Killer Bees. Not telling you when we're doing it. But we are giving away some U of H Alabama tickets a little bit later on in the program. We're having the conversation about if the Texans move on from Nick Caserio, how would that make you feel? Blankers and I aren't on the the idea that you should be firing Nick Caserio. I think it's way too soon. Big C says, I've been saying this all season, he shouldn't be fired this year, but the seat should be warm. If we see no significant improvement next season after another full draft of first-rounders, then he should go. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that we've actually seen improvement with this team. I understand that the product on the field has not looked better. I understand that you currently have three fewer wins than you did a year ago. I understand that Davis Mills looks like a lesser quarterback than he did a year ago. The general manager's job is to build the talent base of the roster. The Texans' talent base is better now than it was a year ago, and I can understand that well, he's also responsible for hiring the coaches. The coaches are part of the development. The coaches are part of building the product and making the players better. I don't think he brought in this coaching staff. I'm not going to, D. Green said that we don't know that he hired Cully. It could have been Easterby. I understand that possibility exists, but I'm not even going to go there. Like, Caserio, Easterby, they're kind of friends. Like, they're boys. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to allow the Cully hire to not be
I'm not going to let him off the hook for Cully, but I'm not going to put it all on him for Lovey. Is that fair?
I don't put any of it on for Lovey.
See, because I also think, to take your point a little further, I don't think that's all a general manager does. I think there's multifacets to what a general manager does, from cap management to, you know, from, like you said, the roster development for the here and now, but also without jeopardizing the future, mm-hmm. with the way you do everything, from drafts to moves to player, you know, to your player development staff, to your talent evaluation staff and scouting staff. There's a ton of different things that go into it. Obviously, yeah,
those are kind of the semantics, though, because comes back to the talent.
Yeah, your main focus is to increase the talent and to put the best team out there that you can every single year. But I am a firm believer that when, you know, and as much as you are our numbers guy, and I'm always the whiteboard guy, and I'll take the whiteboard and I will start writing down last year's roster and this year's roster, starters, reserves, depth, everything, and start comparing. And apples to apples, I will tell you every single time at almost every single position, the team this year is better than the team last year. Now, I get it when you say, but they're not playing well. Well, there's a lot of things that go into that. But that doesn't you don't want to take away from the fact your draft was better. The veterans you brought in are better. The players that are playing are better. Now, are they being coached right? Are they getting the results you want? No. But that's not the way that you analyze a better roster. It's better talent, and there's more talent on this year's roster.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So another part of this that would worry me, 8240, in my opinion, I personally don't want Caserio to be fired. His fingerprints are barely on this rebuild. We could be praising him in just 2 to 3 years. You know, that's a great point. Because Jeff Luhnow took over this team, and the Astros weren't very good, and they continued to not be very good for a few years. Like, they were losing 100 games after 100 games after 100 games. And Jeff Luhnow, for a little while, people were blaming him for not bringing up George Springer. The roster's got to be better. There was a moment in time whenever we looked at Jeff Luhnow wondering if he was ever going to right the ship. And then all of a sudden, the Astros have a golden era, 2 World Series titles, 6 years, 6 straight ALCS appearances, and they are a dynasty. They are the king of Major League Baseball. But once upon a time, people are like, oh, get rid of Luhnow. He doesn't know what he's doing. Nothing that Nick is looking. I don't think Nick Caserio's won a lot of moves. I don't think Nick Caserio's in over his head. I don't feel like Nick Caserio is this general manager that is clueless, incompetent, and doesn't belong. Nick Caserio was pretty coveted around the NFL before the Houston Texans hired him. And I know that the Houston Texans didn't listen to this little Barnes & Noble committee. Yeah. Absolutely he was.
I mean, legit
He was a commodity around the NFL as a general manager, yes.
Okay, I wasn't aware
And he was wanted, like Vera told us, by Bob McNair before Jack Easterby was ever here.
I know that he was a hot commodity with the Texans. There's
he
no
He was a hot commodity
that.
Around the NFL.
And that's part
of the reason they gave him such a big contract. Now, some people think that they might have been bidding against themselves a little bit, but Nick Caserio was going to be a general manager in the NFL if the Houston Texans didn't hire him
And
first.
I'm being completely honest, I did not know that Nick he was Caserio being pursued by other teams.
It might not have been that year, that coaching carousel. Are they GM carousel? Nick Caserio would be a general manager in the NFL if the Houston Texans did not hire him.
Okay. I mean, look, I believe at some point, look, we've seen it happen with Daryl and Theo Epstein and so many different guys. I mean, we talk about the tree all the time. I'm sure the Belichick tree, as much as it produced coaching candidates, I'm sure Nick Caserio, as a Belichick tree disciple, would have gotten a job as a general manager someday. I totally believe that. I was being completely honest. I had not heard him being thrown into, you know, the circles of other teams, but I knew how hot a commodity he was here and how many years they had pursued
him. And some people think that the Texans might have been bidding against themselves that offseason, but Nick Caserio would have been a general manager in the NFL by now if the Texans did not hire him. And I also like the whole Barnes & Noble search committee that we were just talking about a moment ago. It's not like the Texans lost anybody there. The finalists that were on that Barnes & Noble GM search or whatever, the recommendations, only one of them's a general manager, and that's Khan with Pittsburgh.
He stayed
in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
It wasn't somebody else that hired him out of Pittsburgh because he was so coveted. So it's not like the Texans necessarily missed there. 5806, all capital letters. It would not matter who's coaching the Texans right now. They suck. All players they have suck. A coach would not matter.
He does that every day.
I disagree with that, though. Like, I think that a coach is actually massive when it comes to player development. Like, if you have a really good offensive line coach, is Kenyon Green playing better today than he was 3 weeks ago or right now with this coaching staff?
That's exactly where I was going to start. If you're going to take an offensive lineman, especially a guard, in the first round, if you had the proper coaching, if you had a guy that spent time with him on a daily basis, you couldn't help but get better. Whether it be what we know he needs to do, which is become a better pass blocker, and he needs to work on that, you know, consistently. If you're a good offensive line coach and you know this is our prized draft pick as it relates to what I do on this coaching staff, I'd be working with that guy every day. And I would hope to God that anytime you get that kind of coaching, you show improvement from start to finish to the year and all the way in between.
I think the coaching's massive, actually, especially for a team that, and look, you can also use that to blame the Culley hire, which I understand. Although that coaching staff was better than this coaching staff, and I would use Davis Mills as the example. Davis Mills looked better as a rookie than he does as a sophomore. Florio joined the wheelhouse yesterday and talked about the reaction to Nick Caserio potentially being on the hot seat.
It wouldn't surprise me. The guy that brought Caserio in is out, and all bets are off. And we don't know who's advising Cal McNair now. Jack Easterby had Cal under a spell. Now Cal is surely taking his advice from someone else, or he's making his decisions himself. And you look at where this team is right now, it's an embarrassment. I think he should sell the team. We've said this before. I think he doesn't know what he's doing, frankly. And the best way out of this is to cash out, make $8 billion, and move on. And if he's going to own it, he needs a different operation in there. He needs to make some changes. And he needs to do it just to placate the fan base. And I think that the key continues to be, and I think we've talked about this before, what they do to replace Easterby. That's going to be the first domino that I think helps us figure out where everything goes from here.
Placating the fan base is something that I would never do if I'm the owner of an organization. I understand that it happens. It's probably more likely to happen than not happen. I'm not worried about the fan base. I'm not worried about noise. I'm not worried about public perception. I'm not worried by any of that. If I'm an owner, I'm hiring who I think is the best person for that job, and I'm letting that dude work, and I'm staying out of the way. We don't know if Cal McNair's doing that. What Florio said about the whole, like, who's taking Easterby's spot, I'm not sure that spot needs to be filled, quite honestly. But the one thing that scares me here, Blankers, if you do fire Caserio, Cal McNair's got to hire the general manager. And I trust Nick Caserio. And look, we don't have a lot of great things to say about Nick Caserio. I'm willing to admit that. But I trust Nick Caserio more than I do Cal McNair.
Oh, absolutely. But I can also tell you this. He's a lot more on than people are going to pay attention to in the other thing he said about selling the team. As much as people think that's a pipe dream and say it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I would be on that side.
I'm telling you right now, I've talked to people that have said it's closer than you might
think. Let's bet on it.
I'm not saying.
Let's bet on it.
I have sources.
How many years
do
you bet on? Yeah,
10 years, a decade. How soon do you think it's going to be? We can come to a number.
I've been told in the next couple of years, because
I'll give you five.
The
rest
of the siblings aren't really enamored with the whole owning the team and the way it's going and everything around it. Whereas it's all about Cal because he's the only one with the true job in the franchise.
It's just such 5 years.
Let's make a bet. 5 years. If he does not sell the team within the next December 8th, 2027, that's our deadline. If Cal McNair, the Cal McNair family, because Janice is really the owner.
Janice is still owner.
Janice is the owner, but it stays within the family if she passes away. Hopefully she doesn't. We're not calling for anybody's death. But if the team is still in the hands of the McNairs on December 9th, 2027, I win the bet. Any day before that, you win the bet.
I don't know what we're betting.
Wait, but what are the terms? The terms can be whatever you want. I don't really care about the terms. It could be a lunch thing. It could be a steak dinner. It could be a bottle of bourbon. Whatever you want it to be. I don't care.
This is what I've been told. So I would feel stronger if I personally was told, like from someone that knows Cal personally or something like that. But I have been told by a couple of people that that's actually something that could be more realistic than fans and people think.
Lunch?
And that caught my attention.
Steak dinner?
Lunch is fine.
All right, lunch. Because I think I'm going to lose the other lunch bet, by the way. So
no,
I might be able to get you back.
There's no shot.
So put
shot
it in the queue. We need a bet list.
Gets paid off.
We'll put it in the Google Doc.
Bet. Unless the only
Blankers is an honest man. He'll be happy to pay
if
me.
If he remembers, sure.
Unless I'm putting a ball in the hole for a guy who gets a hole in one.
I, actually think the only way that this bet gets paid off is if they're sold soon and we remember.
No, Blankers wouldn't. If Blankers lost the bet, he'd be the first one. He'd be telling me about
bets.
The bet.
We make enough bets. Like, I was the one that remembered we did all these bets at the start of the year that we forgot. So, look, it's not even about the bet.
I'll put it in the Google Doc.
I just thought it'd be interesting for listeners to hear what I heard, which was I had heard from a couple of people that, hey, that Cal's the only one that really loves this team and wants to hang on to it. And, you know, God love Janice. And if she wants to keep it, then it may be longer. But in terms of the rest of the family, that there's rumblings that they would be bet, you know, it would be a massive payday, that they would be more than pleased if it was sold.
I think we just took the next step in our relationship. If you're making bets 5 years down the road, that's the next level, man. Our relationship just went to new heights. Here on the KLEs.
Have you done that before, Jeremy?
I hope absolutely. Radio I have
a lot of I have a lot of those type of bets. Actually, I have a bet with a buddy that the Aggies will. And this doesn't sound great now, as it did at the beginning of the year. I have a bet with a buddy that
they'll win the national championship.
That the Aggies win a national championship. He has the LSU side of it, and I have
which
other
one
bets
first.
Like that.
You mean?
Yeah, I made this at the beginning of the season when the Aggies were ranked like number 5, and LSU looked silly. Now it doesn't look great for me. But hey,
17 guys in the portal.
Aggies also, they flipped the top running back commit in the country from Louisville, coming their way.
Okay.
Coming to
well,
the
they
Aggies.
Also had like 17 guys from this year's roster that are in the portal.
There's some offensive coordinator rumors there, too. No, I make bets like this all the time. Y'all don't make bets like this? Futures bets?
If
they're
it's
fun.
Gary
the
Kubiak,
best.
Boy, do we look good.
713-780-ESPN. I don't think it's good. I've heard a name, and I feel pretty confident about it, but okay. I can't tell anybody. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Could the Rockets be forced into a Monte Ellis-Steph Curry situation? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.